It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Today is primary election day in Pennsylvania. Here in Allegheny County, officials have sent out hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots and are expecting a big return. This is the first election in which no excuse mail-in voting is legal in the state. We'll take a look at the most contested races in the Pittsburgh area. But first, a protest that began peacefully in East Liberty ended in violence last night. Police arrested at least 20 individuals after declaring the march an unlawful assembly. Police say they deployed beanbags and canisters of smoke after protesters threw rocks and water bottles at officers. Protesters have disputed that claim. Marches have been held across the country over the past week after the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man detained by police in Minneapolis. Here in Pittsburgh, a protest against police misconduct toward African Americans turned violent on Saturday. And as 90.5 WESA's Margaret J. Krause reports, organizers worry the public at large will lose sight of why marchers took to the streets.
At a press conference Monday afternoon, Mayor Bill Peduto said anarchists bent on destruction and chaos hijacked Saturday's protest and betrayed young black organizers.
And they betrayed them for their own self-interest. The actions that they took were not supported by the organizers of the event.
Police and protesters have differing accounts of why the afternoon turned hostile. Representative Summer Lee helped lead Saturday's demonstration. She says before there were any altercations, police took a very defensive stance and swept through a crowd at Freedom Corner in a way that seemed to incite an exchange. Many say things deteriorated when a few people smashed the windows of a police SUV. A widely shared video shows a white man defacing the car. The suspect, Shaler resident Brian Bartels, turned himself in Monday. Mounted officers who moved into the crowd were met with lobbed water bottles and rocks. Pittsburgh Police Chief Scott Schubert says the department plans carefully for all protests and was surprised by how events turned.
Those officers were doing whatever they could to protect themselves. It was a very scary situation. It was a very dangerous situation for our officers.
Ultimately, two police vehicles were lit on fire. Organizers urged people to disperse. Later, police fired tear gas and rubber bullets into crowds. Public Safety Director Wendell Histrick says they've begun an investigation to find the people who damaged the city of Pittsburgh.
But it will take months and potentially up to years to determine who the suspects are and to bring them to justice.
Lee says the focus should not be on who did what on Saturday, that the lamentation about whether the protest was peaceful distracts from the point. Police brutality against people of color continues unabated.
The way that black and brown people have been treated in this country has not been peaceful. The way that George Floyd died was not peaceful.
As Lee tried to make her way home, she says she walked into the middle of a clash downtown. She asked police how people could avoid getting caught in the action. She says there were officers in one direction and flashbangs in another.
And it didn't seem clear where the route of exit was, so we were trying to ask them, if these people wanted to disperse, where even would they be able to?
Schubert says there were numerous places where people could have gone.
Run the opposite way. There was plenty of opportunities for them to leave.
Allegheny County Councilor Liv Bennett also helped organize Saturday's march. She says she does not condone violence or destruction of property, but she understands why it happened. People look around and see systems that oppress more than they lift up.
For black people, it looks like police killing murder. For workers, it looks like not being able to unionize, being paid low wages. For somebody else, it might be lack of transportation, access to health care, or education.
Lee contrasted the public response to armed protesters demanding the economy reopen after coronavirus shutdowns to the nationwide protest against police brutality.
We have to stop pretending that's the reaction to black people, to black pain, to black fear, or to black joy, to whatever it may be, is not disproportionately different than the reaction to white violence.
Across the city, faith leaders, elected officials, and speakers at rallies and marches have urged people to go beyond public demonstrations, to advocate for policy change and legislative reform, to call out racism and inequity in whatever sphere or group they find themselves in. At a vigil in East Liberty on Sunday, Bishop Loren Mann urged people to work together.
And I want to encourage us to speak the language of love. Hate has divided us too long. Hate has put too many injuries upon us.
After the shooting of Antoine Rose in 2018, Lee introduced a bill to address the use of police force. It has yet to be sent to committee. Margaret J. Krause, 90.5 WESA News.
It's the Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Reopening the economy has become a polarizing issue. How elected leaders handle the task could sway voters' decisions at the ballot box in November. For our split ticket series, we asked four Western Pennsylvania voters about how they view reopening strategies. And as 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins reports, they're divided on what's best for the country.
Even though complete shutdowns have been lifted, Linda Bishop has no plans to change her habits. She and her husband, who has underlying health conditions, started isolating well before Governor Tom Wolf's stay-at-home order.
Really, what needs to happen for me to feel safe is some kind of a coordinated national plan.
Linda's in her 60s and lives in Mars, Pennsylvania. She's retired on a fixed income, although some of her investments have tanked during the pandemic.
We've made a lot of sacrifices these past couple of months. We were basically buying time for our government to prepare, and I feel like we haven't done the things that needed to be done to prepare for the reopening, like getting the testing and contact tracing and all of that in place. I don't feel like we're any better off now than we were 2.5 months ago.
Linda voted by mail in the primary, and so did progressive Democrat Savannah Henry. Like Linda, Savannah's wary of reopening too soon because she says government inaction has disproportionately hurt people of color.
Even though we're opening doesn't mean that people aren't dying. And then a lot of the people who are dying are like marginalized people, and like they're just not getting proper deaths because there's so many numbers. That's like the most scary thing.
Savannah's a junior at the University of Pittsburgh and has plans to hang out with some friends outside and 6 feet apart. But she thinks the protests to reopen are ridiculous. She says no one at the demonstrations has been social distancing and the messaging is selfish.
There was a sign that had chains alluding to slavery and things like that. And it's just like what we're going through right now is an oppression. It's for the well-being of everybody.
She also points out how differently police have treated the white protesters at the reopening rallies compared to their handling of demonstrations led by people of color. That concern was brought into even sharper focus last weekend when nationwide protests followed the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis.
People of color who have been protesting forever, when they do protesting, guns are out and the police will like arrest people for simply being there, whereas these people have their guns and they're not really getting penalized or anything.
None of these people are out to kill anybody. They're my neighbors. I grew up with them.
Republican Mary Henze wants things to reopen now and called Governor Wolf a tyrant for imposing restrictions in the first place.
I need to get out. I've been so confined and so restricted that I've almost lost my mind. And the factor that Walmart and Home Depot can be open and a church can't?
Mary's in her 50s and lives in Jefferson Hills. She's been on disability for a decade and says she and her son have relied on extra food stamp money provided by the federal government during the pandemic. Mary says even though she has a compromised immune system, she still plans to start seeing friends and family.
I have no fear. If it's going to take me out, it will take me out. But I'm not going to live behind plexiglass.
Fellow Republican Ed Switlinski is also ready to socialize again. He's in his 40s and lives with his wife and young kids in Bethel Park. They've struggled to find work these past few months, but he's looking forward to seeing friends and family.
I love to have people over here. I love to have a barbecue. Sure. And yeah, I'll shake hands and hug people at this point and not worry about it.
He and Mary both plan to vote in person in the primary because they don't trust mail-in ballots. But the two Republicans differ on whether the reopening protests were a good idea.
I don't really know that they wanted about it the right way. I would have not shown up to the protests without a mask. I wouldn't have shown up to be around a bunch of people. And I would have definitely not taken a firearm to wield around. I think that sends a bad message.
Even so, Ed agrees it's definitely time to reopen, even if some people don't feel like it's safe yet.
I'm very optimistic about the coronavirus second wave not being a big deal. I know that American exceptionalism will take root again. And the good working people of this country want to get back to work and thrive again.
But epidemiologists are more cautious and say that a second wave of the virus could be even more deadly. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
It's the Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. 5 weeks late, Pennsylvania voters are finally getting a chance to go to the polls. well, at least cast their ballots for the primary election. Chris Potter is the editor of WESA's Government Accountability Team. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Kevin.
So it's finally here, 5-week delay, a little bit different feel to this primary election.
Yeah, very different feel. As you say, a lot of people are voting by mail. This year, they've perhaps cast their ballots days or even weeks ago. Now's the time when we count them and we see what happens this evening.
And for those who are going, chances are you're going to go to a polling place, a precinct that is not where you voted in the past.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, to reduce the spread of the coronavirus, the county shrunk the number of polling places from about 1,300 in most years to more closer to around 150. So what you should do if you you can go to the county's website, you can just like Google Allegheny County elections, and there's a tab there that says, June 2nd primary information. List of all the municipalities and where they go ahead and vote. You will be asked to socially distance yourself. You will be asked to wear a mask. If you don't have one, workers will provide one. You're also asked to bring your own pen to mark the ballot, so there's less chance of communicating the virus through a shared pen.
Oh, okay. Must it be black or blue? Or?
Yeah, I believe it has to be either black or blue, yeah.
Okay. Just from sheer numbers, do we expect more votes by mail than in person, though?
Yeah, I think so. The county said yesterday that they had received about 188,000 ballots as of yesterday. More will come in today out of 280,000 requests. So you're already talking just on those numbers alone. If everybody were to respond, you already have a higher turnout than they saw in the last uncontested primary election. So, yeah, I think the number of people actually voting in person today will be the smaller part of the election. One thing that means is that we may actually have a much better sense early on tonight of how these races are shaping up, because right now, as we speak, county officials, county workers are counting these ballots. They're running them through the optical scanners. They're doing all of that work right now. They can't release that stuff until polls close, but we could get some really interesting numbers very early in the process tonight, which is something I'm not used to be honest.
Well, this is interesting because say you mailed in your vote and it's being scanned right now or over the next couple few hours. What's to prevent you from showing up at the polls and casting a second vote?
Yeah, well, what's to prevent you is that the county workers have a list of everybody who requested mail-in ballot. So if you come in and show up and say, oh, I'd like to vote again, they're going to say, hey, wait, you're indicated that it's that you've already voted here. You can still, because there are people who are listening to us who are in the situation who they didn't get a ballot. They asked for one. They didn't get it. Or they forgot to send it in. They can go to their polling place in person and vote provisionally. That's a ballot that's a sort of an emergency ballot you take. They don't count it tonight. They have to make sure that you did not, in fact, mail your ballot in. But you can vote provisionally and they'll count it one way or the other.
Well, the governor didn't call, but he did give people a reprieve about that mail-in ballot, didn't he? Late yesterday, I believe.
Yeah. This is a sort of contentious decision. The governor said yesterday that in Allegheny, Erie, and four other counties more towards the eastern part of the state, that a state of emergency existed because of the pandemic and because of the protests that we've seen in the past few days. So what he said is, as long as your ballot is postmarked today, it can be counted, even if it gets to your local county elections office, as late as next Tuesday. So if you still got that ballot, you could do one of a couple of things. You could vote provisionally. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that unless you have no other choice. You can also take that ballot physically yourself to the Allegheny County Elections Office, which is in the county office building on the corner of Forbes and Ross downtown, and present it in person. You have to present your own ballot. Nobody else can present it for you, but you could do that and make sure it gets counted tonight.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the key races. One thing that always fascinates me is how freshman incumbents, do they have the oomph for a second term in terms of the voters' support? One of the key victors 2 years ago was Summer Lee. Any trouble for her?
She does face a challenger, Chris Rowland. This is in the 34th House District, which includes some Pittsburgh neighborhoods, Mon Valley, Turtle Creek Valley, that area there. She did win that seat. She's facing a guy, Chris Rowland, who's receiving a lot of support from unions and other interests who are heavily involved in the fracking industry. Ms. Lee has been a sharp critic of that of that sector. And so this has been a bit of a slugfest here. I will say that late over the weekend, Ms. Lee released her campaign contributions right up until the middle of last month. And she is leading Mr. Roland in fundraising. She raised $200,000, which is just a huge sum.
A huge sum for any state legislator.
For any state rep, at least in this part of the state. Philadelphia, they got a whole different set of rules, but here that is big money.
Any incumbents in danger, do you think?
I mean, I think one of the races we should watch for, I couldn't say whether he's in danger or not, but one of the races that a lot of people are paying attention to is Adam Ravenstahl in the 20th District. This is sort of north side of Pittsburgh, parts of Lawrenceville, and some of the suburban communities nearby, Ross and some areas. He's facing a challenge from Emily Kincaid. She also outraised him with a big assist from SEIU, who's a big player. The Service Employees Unions represents janitors, building guards, various some government workers, and some people in healthcare, too.
Mm-hmm. 36th district, you have a four-person race for the Democratic nomination to succeed long-time incumbent Harry Reidshaw. Any clear-cut favorite there?
That race is crazy. I wouldn't want to speculate. This is a race where Mr. Reidshaw decided to retire. He was facing a challenge from Jessica Benham, a progressive young female challenger. He decided not to run again. She is still in the race. He has thrown his support to Heather Cass, who's been sort of a controversial figure because of social media posts she's made in the past criticizing people suffering from drug addiction and even voicing some support for Donald Trump. She's apologized for those posts, but the controversy still lingers. It's really divided the party for the much of the past few months. Ms. Cass has now sued the Democrats. She's suing her own party, which gives you an idea. There are two other candidates there, Mark Johnson, Ed Mueller. Mark Johnson is a lawyer from Brookline. Ed Mueller is a longtime official from Baldwin Borough. We'll see. I would think Mr. Mueller is kind of the sleeper candidate here. He might surprise folks, but it's mostly been a discussion about Benham and Cass up to this point.
Very briefly, there are statewide races. These are for the so-called row offices, attorney general, treasurer, and auditor general. Current auditor general, Eugene DePasquale, is term limited. So who wants his job?
Well, Michael Lamb, the Pittsburgh city controller, is the lone candidate from the West. There are several other candidates, mostly from the east part of the state, or at least east of us. Scott Conklin, a state representative, is among them. Nina Ahmad, who's a former deputy mayor in Philadelphia. Christina Hartman, another candidate, former congressional candidate from that area. So we will see. Mr. Lamb, I would think, is in a decent position as the only candidate from the West. And he's done pretty well. He's gotten the endorsement of the Philadelphia's mayor and so on and so forth. So we'll see how that one plays out.
In a couple of sentences, Chris, what is the big takeaway for the Democratic Party in this primary election? They made some big gains across the board 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is, can these progressive candidates build on the gains that they've made in the past 2 years? We've seen some big wins for progressives in Allegheny County. And the question is what happens forward? The other story is just, can we get through this election safely and in one piece? And the jury's out on that one.
Chris Potter is WESA's Government Accountability Editor. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Kevin.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. If you enjoy what you're hearing, there's even more to read on our website at WESA.fm, where our newsroom is rounding up everything you need to know about how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting our region and beyond. Thanks to our team, Helen Wicker, Tom Hurley, Julia Zenkovich, Doug Shugerts, and Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.